We're going to be in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, chapter 14, verse 13. Amen. Praise God. So Exodus 14, verse 13. If you are able to sing, please sing for the reading of the Word of God today. Will you do that? Amen.
It was brought to my attention that I was unofficially but officially promoted to a supervisor. I don't know the details. Allie actually got promoted as well. She starts her new position tomorrow, and I'll be her boss. So that will... You might want to pray for the both of us because I'm not quite sure what we're going to accomplish together. No, I know what God's intentions are. But if you guys can keep us in a prayer. I truly believe that God is going to supplement our income, and I know He's put me in the position that He's put me in. So if you guys can just pray that God makes a way, and we can continue to do what He's called. This operation is important to me because last year was the first time that we were allowed to include faith-based stuff, and obviously I have to keep it with my home. So it's any time that I can pull God into anything that I do, I take it with as much honor and privilege as possible, and I brag nonstop about our church and the body, and people see you guys, and they see that we're not bound by religion and by what the world says we should do, and they, like the detectives and stuff that I work with, they actually love you guys, and they love the people that come here. They love Chrissy, they love Pastor Jeff, and everybody that they've worked with. So it's a big honor to me. I know I've been away for a little bit, so I have to dive back in tomorrow, but if you all can just pray for God's favor in every situation that's going to unfold this week. I think He's going to do big things. There are city officials that are coming to our church on Wednesday because they've seen that we were having this event, and they know the whole rezoning thing, so they kind of like volunteered themselves to come. So I'm literally praying for favor over this property. Amen. And for these city officials to do whatever they feel they need to do politically. But I believe this is a transition into the changing that we're about to go into as a body of Christ of this property. So if y'all can just pray as whole over this whole operation, and thank you to those who are volunteering and providing during this week.
Amen. Praise God. We'll do what is said to do. Amen. If we show up, if we stay in alignment, amen, He will accomplish through us, amen, what He has set out to do. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 14, one verse of scripture to get us started this morning, verse 13. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Amen. Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for His word this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Let's make a sacrifice. Come on. It's not really a full praise until it's a sacrifice. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We bless you today. We bless you this morning, God. We give you honor. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated, and if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister simply on this thought. Remain steady. Amen. Remain steady. Look at your neighbor and say, remain steady. Hallelujah. Remain steady. Praise God. The Passover, the season of Passover began at sundown. Amen. On Monday evening, praise God. It began at sundown, and we know that the feast continues until next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, at sundown. Amen. And we know that the Passover, we had our Seder on Thursday, but the Passover reminds us, amen, that God delivered his people from out of bondage, from out of slavery, from the hand of the Pharaoh, that God brought them through. Not only did he bring them out and deliver them, but he redeemed them, amen, with the blood of the Lamb, amen. And it was outside of this, when God brought that deliverance, that God established them as his people, and he gave them the word of God. He gave them the commandments, amen, to establish their life, to establish the boundaries, to establish, amen, the way that God desired for us to live. See, God gives us the word not to give us a set of rules and do's and don'ts, but he sets the boundaries that we can live in peace and health and prosperity, amen, within the bounds of his will and his holiness, because that is God's original plan. But sin came, we know, and brought a change to that, hallelujah. But thankfully, Jesus came, and he was our Passover lamb, hallelujah, and his blood now has redeemed all of mankind. Not only did it redeem all of mankind, but it tore down the wall of separation between the Jew and the Gentile, to now everybody in the covenant is one new man. If you're thankful for the blood covenant this morning, why don't you go ahead and give the Lord another praise right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, thankful for the blood. Praise God, praise God. But I want to take us this morning, as we are in the Passover, and as God began to speak something to my spirit, amen. And we find that Israel has exited, amen, Egypt now by the miraculous hand of God. It was all of the miracles of God that brought them out. The Bible says by his strong arm, amen. And so after 10 plagues had happened, and putting their faith in God's word to apply, amen, the blood on the doorpost, the final plague was that came through was the death of the firstborn. We preached a little bit, amen, last Sunday about the Passover, amen, and the power of Passover and Pesach, amen. But we know that the last plague was the death of the firstborn, that God said, if you will apply the blood of the lamb, if you will sacrifice a lamb for the house, put the blood over the lintel and the doorpost. When I see the blood, when the death angel, when the destroyer comes through Egypt, I will stand guard at your door, and I will forbid death to come into your house. And so there were Israelites and Egyptians both that were saved, amen, and redeemed during this time. But now we know that they came out. There were 600,000 men, not counting women and children. So we're looking in the millions of people in a number. Some say two, some say three. So we'll just say between 2 and 3 million people, amen, God redeemed out of Egypt. Now that's a lot of people. Amen. Praise God. That's not an easy task. No wonder Moses was like, what? I'm going to be the one to bring them out. But God was ahead of him. Hallelujah. Now they have exited out of Egypt. And see, what I don't think we understand is that it took them 2 days to get out of Egypt. They did not just come out of their house, walk out of Egypt, amen, on that first night. Amen. They had to go through Sukkoth, and then they went to Ramses. Amen. And it was 2 days before they literally got out of Egypt. So understand that they were still in Egypt, amen, for 2 days as they made their journey, amen, from that bondage. And so now they traveled about 3 days, and so 2 days getting out of Egypt, and then they traveled another day. Amen. And we know that God led them a different route. When they got out of Egypt and they literally began to make that journey, we see that God spoke to Moses and he said, I don't want you to go by the sea route. I don't want you to go by the coastal route. See, that was by the way of the sea, because that was the common way out of Egypt to go into, amen, the Canaan land, by the way of the sea. Not only was it the common way, but it was the shortest way. It was the trade route, because there on that route, they could get food and water. Amen, there was places to get food and water on that common shortest route, amen, to the Canaan land. But the Bible says that God told them to go at the mouth of the gorges. He told them to go a different way. Why? Because God knew, amen, of the dangers that were going to be ahead of them. The dangers that they could not see, God knew it. Sometimes God will direct us, or he will instruct us to do a certain thing or go a certain direction in our spiritual walk. And it may seem like that it doesn't make sense. And it may seem like, amen, that it's the way that no one else is going. But you have to understand and trust God that he sees things that you do not see. Are you with me this morning? Amen. The Bible says, hallelujah, that the way that they went was also where the Philistine military outposts were set up. Amen. And so the Bible says that they were not ready to face this kind of conflict yet. They were not ready for war. So God was taking them away from the temptation to go back. Come on, somebody, help me. Because if they would have saw, amen, war or saw conflict, it would have been easier to turn around and go back. Because you know that's how it is. When we begin to make a step into what God has set before us, and then we meet opposition and we meet conflict, it's a little easier to turn around and go back into the comfort zone, to where we know that we don't have to make the extra effort. But aren't you glad today, hallelujah, that God assigned a destiny to us? And it doesn't matter, hallelujah, if we go through the fire, if we go through the flood, if we face a den of lions, if we face opposition, if God has said this is the way that you are to go, he's already went that way before you, and the way has been made. Somebody help me in this place. May God help us not to be lazy and complacent, and to want to take the shortest and the easy way out. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap right there. Hallelujah. So, and the Bible says that he led them by a pillar of a cloud through the day and a pillar of fire through the night. Now we know, hallelujah, amen, that that pillar was like a column. Amen. So there was a column of a cloud, amen, that led them through the day so that they did not have to decide which way to go. And then there was a pillar of fire, amen, that led them through the night. And the Bible says that after about 3 days, God told them to turn around. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? He tells them to go this way. And then God says, I want you to turn around. And I want you to camp here. He wanted them to camp in front of Pihahiroth Road. And he said, this is where I want you to camp out. Amen. And this was between Migdol and the sea. Amen. Why did God say, turn around and camp at Pihahiroth Road between Migdol and the sea? Because God said Pharaoh's going to change his mind. Pharaoh's going to decide that it wasn't such a good idea to let them go. They were there the first 2 days in Egypt, and Pharaoh never said a word. But when Pharaoh got sight and Pharaoh got word, see, they hadn't got real far. Just another day's journey after they got out of Egypt. Now 3 days, Pharaoh looks out and he says, they're lost. They don't know where they're going. They were going this way, then they turned around. Now we've got them in a position. Now they are stuck in the wilderness. And the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he changed his mind. And he said, fellas, I've decided that we're going to go and get them back. Oh, somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. He said they were wandering aimlessly, and the desert now has them closed in. And God told them he will pursue you. But here's the thing. God was setting up an ambush for the Pharaoh and his army. And what looks like that might be taking us down, God will often set it up that the enemy will be us. Somebody better help me. Because he ain't got better sense than just to chase after that which God has anointed. I need somebody to help me in this place. I'm trying to lay a foundation this morning, but I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost in this pulpit. God said he's going to pursue you. He said it may look confusing, but I will reveal at last my glory. For I am the Lord. Woo, somebody needs to get that in your belly today. Somebody needs to let that in your very most inner being so that you can let it out as a Shabbat. Because see, when it gets in the innermost part of you, it'll become the deepest praise that you got. In the Hebrew, that's a Shabbat. A Shabbat that comes from way down deep. See, a Shabbat comes from when you've been through the water, but the water didn't overtake you. A Shabbat comes that when you've been in the fire, but you come out unscathed. You don't even smell like you've been in the fire. I need somebody to help me. Get that in your belly today. I am the Lord. I will show my glory. And just as God said, Pharaoh regretted his decision. Ooh, hallelujah. So he decides that he's going to force them back to Egypt. Somebody needs to get a hold of that today. He decided he was going to force them back to Egypt. Now we're talking about 2 to 3 million people. I was thinking this morning, obviously, Pharaoh must have thought that there was a limit to God's power. Maybe he thought it ended, or amen, hallelujah. Praise God that the 10 plagues were enough, that that was the limit to God's power. Death, because you see, death was something that they did not have control over. I need somebody to help me in this place. Death was something that not even one of their pagan gods, amen, could control. But when the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob showed up and he had control over death, Pharaoh probably thought that's the limit. He just didn't know that the God, hallelujah, that had control over the destroyer is also the God filled with dunamis power. Somebody to help me. Huh? Let me tell you something. You think Satan is going to let you go easily once you give your heart to the Lord? Some people, you think that once you leave the kingdom, he forgets about you? Some of you in here that are lukewarm, amen, you're in a backslidden condition. I know you might show up every Sunday, but your mind is not there. Come on, somebody help me. I'm just going to be real this morning. Do you think the enemy has forgotten you just because you have stepped out of the covenant of God? Oh, no. He never stops, say amen, hallelujah, pursuing you because his end is death and destruction. And oh, somebody help me. But hallelujah. David said, even though I make my bed in Sheol, even though I lay down in hell, you are with me. And with me, I'm just laying a foundation. You see, he pursues us. Because he's trying to keep us on the fringes of his domain. You'll get that tomorrow. Because he has hopes of destroying you. He has hopes of destroying your marriage. He has hopes of destroying your mind. He has hopes of destroying your vision. He has hopes of destroying your family. He has hopes of destroying your children. He has hopes of that. So he will pursue you to try to keep you on the fringes of his domain. Oh, you see, Pharaoh said they may not be in the legal limits of Egypt, but they're just a day out. That's still my domain. I can still see them. So if I can keep them there, I'm going to bring them back. That's why the enemy will lie to you and tell you that church people don't love you. Church people don't want you. Make you feel rejected, dejected, forgotten, alone, forsaken. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. He'll make you know this. Amen. 15 people could shake your hand, but he'll make you notice the one who did it. 25 people can smile at you and say good morning, but he'll make you notice the two who did not, because he wants to keep you on the fringes of his domain so that he can pursue you, because it's harder when you get outside of his domain. That's Jesus. You still with me? I'm still laying a foundation. Because he has hopes of destroying you.
Absolutely.
He's got high hopes. Hallelujah. So we gathered 600 chariots. Listen, he had the best military resources of that time. And he gathered all 600 chariots. Help me, I'm just trying to lay a foundation on and get to where God has spoken to me. But see, here's the thing. The Bible says that Israel may have only been a day's journey outside of Egypt's limits and Egypt's boundary line. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says that they went out with a high hand. Amen. Come on, somebody. When you look at that word in the Hebrew, high hand, it's run yad. Amen. It literally means with boldness. Hallelujah. But it's translated to mean rise against authority. So they didn't go out. Hallelujah. They went out with a high hand because they had risen up against authority. See, when you rise up against the authority of hell, you're not considered a rebel by God. It's when you rise up against God's authority that now you sit in a state of rebellion, which is like witchcraft. But you can be a rebel and rise up against hell's domain and authority. So Pharaoh thought he had them because they were still in his domain. But they went out with a high hand, with boldness. Micah says that Israel began to see Pharaoh and his armies as they drew closer. And naturally, they were afraid. Ain't no sense in us acting like we wouldn't be. I can tell you right now, in what I know about God, that I will probably have a sense of terror, amen, and fear, and feel anxious. Because Pharaoh's armies were on one side, and the Red Sea was on the other. God done told them, this is the way you got to go. You got to camp here. And if they turn around and go back, they're going to run right into the arms of the enemy. Come on, somebody. I don't know who he's talking to today. If they would turn around and go back, they would go right into the arms of the enemy. See, it looked like that God had led them to a trap. On somebody. Because listen, you know, we always have two choices, right? Life and death. There's always two choices. We can do the right thing, the wrong thing. Come on. They didn't have two choices here. They only had one choice. Going back into the arms of the Pharaoh was not an option. So the only choice they had was to go through the sea. You see what God done did? God done set them up to where they did not have to waver. They did not have to dial 1-800, call a prophet. They did not have to get on the prayer line. They did not have to send out, amen, an SOS and a 911 message. Somebody help me, I don't know what to do. You're either going to die or you're going to go through the Red Sea. Who am I talking to today? God didn't give them those options. We got to get to that place where our trust and our faith is in confidence in God. That when we get to that place, we know that if God has led us there, hallelujah, and it looks like we're stuck, and it looks like an impossibility, that is the only way through. Come on. They couldn't mistake which way they were supposed to go. They had to go through the Red Sea. So the only thing they could do now was to cry out to God. When he puts you in the place where if you don't pray, you will, or you'll be destroyed. Come on, you that know that testimony, you that's part of your story. It might be in a chapter way in the first part of your book, in the first part of your story, but it's still part of your story. That's why we got to have a daily fellowship with him. Come on, somebody. And what did Moses say? Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, if you look at this in the Hebrew, he said to them, stop being so fearful. Stop being so full of fear. Stop being so intrigued with the what if he don't bring us through. What if all that I'm doing is not enough? Oh, come on, somebody. That's why the enemy wants to keep you on his domain, because he can keep you in that legalistic mindset that's convinced you that it's what you do that's getting you through. Oh, come on, somebody. But he said, remain steady and watch and see how God is going to save you. There wasn't no wait and see if he does. Moses didn't even know what God was going to do at that point. Moses still did not know how they were going to get through this Red Sea. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? He said, stop being so fearful, remain steady, and watch and see how God is going to save you. Can I talk to somebody today and tell you, stop being so full of fear and worry and anxiety and doubt. Hallelujah. Remain steady. Stand still. Hallelujah. And watch and see how God's going to bring you out. Watch and see how God's going to deliver you. I need somebody to understand. He said he will battle for you. So calm yourself down. Hallelujah. Amen. In the English translation, that's hold your peace. Calm yourself down. Can I tell you, hold on to your peace. Do not relinquish it to the lies of hell. Calm yourself down. Settle. Somebody better help me. Some of you in the place where there is no evidence that anything's wrong, but you're still anxious. They called me yesterday from the nursing home about my sister. And they said she's having a hard time breathing. But her oxygen is 100%. And there's no evidence that she's not getting enough oxygen to not breathe. They said, I think she's having an anxiety attack. Yeah. She wants to go to the hospital. Okay. Then go ahead and take her. The nurse said, I don't think there's anything wrong, but I think the only way that she's going to believe that is to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Who's he talking to today? Come on. Love story short, they took her to the hospital, x-ray, everything, nothing wrong. She wasn't there very long, brought her back. She called and said it was an anxiety attack. And then, can I tell you something? Some of you are so used to being in the enemy's domain that if something isn't uproar, something isn't happening, you're looking for something and it'll bring anxiety. Can I tell you, calm yourself down. Now, calm yourself down. Remain steady and watch and see how the Lord's going to get you out of this. I need somebody. Come on, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Can I tell you what God's direction is in time of crisis? Stop. Hold your peace. Do not give the enemy your joy, your hope, your faith, your strength, your victory. Do not give him your redemption. Do not give him, come on somebody, do not give him your healing. Come on, I'm still laying a foundation. Because listen to me, despair will cast you down, and it will keep you from standing. When God said, calm yourself down and remain steady. Remain steady. Fear will tell you to retreat. Turn around and go back. Impatience will tell you you need to do something right now. It'll tell you, you need to figure this out now. Presumption, help us Jesus with that spirit. Presumption will tell you to jump into the Red Sea before it's ever parted. If that's the only way through, then I'm going in. And you're swimming, and then all of a sudden, come on, somebody, because you're presumptuous. You assume that that's how God's going to move. But God said, stop, remain steady, calm down, and watch and see how God's going to bring you out. I know it looks like that the enemy is gaining ground, but let's not forget the part of the story where God moved the cloud. Hallelujah, from in front of them and put it behind them, and it separated them and Pharaoh's army. Come on, somebody, do you understand? Your
provision will protect you from the enemy. It ain't your fasting, your shana, your prophesying, your serving, your giving, your works you're doing. It is your faith and trust in the provision of the I Am. And if you believe, He will provide for you and will protect you. When I see the blood. Woo!
Are you with me today? I'm still laying a foundation. Your presumption will get you to jump in and be drowned. How many's ever jumped in just before God stepped in? And you're like, if I would just leave one more day. Oh, hallelujah. I feel that in the depths of my belly this morning. That could become your Shabbat. He that waits upon the Lord shall renew your strength. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Moses didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew what the result would be. He had trust in God's provision. Oh,
that's right.
See, when you're all in the river. When y'all like that, you can't hear the voice of the Lord. Come on, you hear voices, but it ain't going to be the Lord's voice. It'll be in there, but you won't be able to distinguish the difference. You're going to believe the loudest one, and trust me, because the enemy's got you in his domain. His voice is going to be the loudest. Come on, somebody. He knew what the result was going to be. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know that on the other side of it, it's for the good. It's victorious. Oh, come on. Do you understand that? That's a simple amen. Hallelujah. Of ABC. 1, 2, 3. Do, re, mi. All it takes is one bad apple to spill the whole bunch.
Oh, yeah. Say it again.
Just takes one bad apple. Somebody said, take it in. So I am. Just pull the whole bunch. But I don't know what God's doing. I don't know why He's led me here. I don't know why I'm feeling like this. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what this is about. But I've got my trust in His provision, that He would never leave me nor forsake me. So that is my covenant protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will hide in the cleft of the rock. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Just because you feel like you're having a heart attack doesn't mean it's your end. I need somebody to help me in this place. If you've got a word over your life, speak that word. Declare that word. Do not stay in the enemy's domain. So now God speaks to Moses and He says, lift your rod over the sea and stretch forth your hand and I'll divide it. That's not what I said. He said, Moses, stretch forth your rod. Lift up your rod, stretch your hand over the sea and divide it. Now your faith is going to have some works. Now you're going to see some signs and wonders following after those who believe. Somebody help me in this place. Well, Moses got kept from seeing the
the promised land because he attributed the miracle of the water coming out of the rock to himself. He said, how do we? Why must we bring water out of the rock? God's like, you don't bring the water out of the rock. I'm the one that brings the water out of the rock. You're simply the vessel that I work through. Somebody help me. Wasn't because he got angry. Wasn't because he rebelled. If that's the case, there wouldn't be nobody in there. It's because he took the glory from the one who can, is the only one that's able to do it. Come on. He said, divide it. And they crossed over. And we know that the Bible says that Pharaoh's like, come on, we got to get quicker. And God calls the wheels to come off the chariots. I think that's hilarious. What's even more stupid is that Pharaoh thought he could still get there without wheels. Because the Bible said he didn't stop. That he kept rolling on the axles. Come on, somebody. Until he got in the middle of the sea. And no doubt he's like, oh, boys, we're almost there. Look at that. I can still see. Amen. I have the cloud by day and the fire. Amen. That pillar's there, but we're halfway in. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, the water comes down and drowns them right in the midst of the Red Sea. Can I tell you that the Holy Ghost is about to take the wheels off of the enemy's chariot in your life, in your family, in your ministry, in your finances, in your mind, in your health. God's about to remove the wheels, and the enemy ain't going to stop, because I told you, he'll never stop pursuing you. But the destroyer does not have the power to reach you. Now the blood allowed them to cross the threshold in Egypt. It allowed them to cross the threshold of their home. It kept them in, but it kept the enemy from crossing over. It kept the enemy from crossing over the threshold. Crossing over the threshold is a sign of welcome. It's a sign of hospitality. I need somebody to help me. You need to shut the door and quit letting hell come in over the threshold of your life. Quit having breakfast, brunch, lunch, snack, and dinner with hell. They don't belong in your house. They don't belong in your mind. They don't belong. Come on, somebody, help me. Hallelujah. And they cross over. See, some of you think the Lord has passed you over. Because we preached last week, Passover wasn't what the blood didn't cause the destroyer to say, oh, can't go in there. Amen. You think God has passed you over, but the blood meant that God was going to stand guard at your door and tell the destroyer, not this house. Not today, Satan. Come on. And then the blood allowed you to cross over the threshold without any interference from the enemy. Oh, come on, son. And he, 2 days' journey still in Egypt. If Pharaoh had any sense, he would have snatched them while they were still in Egypt. Come on, somebody. Huh? Now they're standing at another threshold. The Bible says it was a threshold from Beelzebub to Elam. But they were standing at a threshold from Beelzebub to Elam. Because that's the vicinity. Now, Beelzebub, Zephon in the Hebrew, means cold. It means winter.
It literally comes from the word destroyer. The Egyptian god Typhon, think typhoon, think that destroyer who could bring destruction. So they're coming from the cold winter. It comes from a root word that means hidden and dark. So they're crossing the threshold. The blood has kept the enemy, the destroyer, from coming in, crossing their threshold, allowed them to cross over their threshold without any interference with the enemy. Now they come to another threshold between Beelzebub and Elam, and the Red Sea stood in between Beelzebub and Elam. And so now they have to cross over. See, Passover is really about crossing over. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Because he is, amen, because there's the Pesach, and because Jesus became the Pesach, then the destroyer cannot cross over into your house, and then wherever God says that you should go, whatever threshold you get to, the destroyer cannot affect you. So now they're crossing from the destroyer, from the dark, from the cold, from the winter, from the hidden and the unknown. And that threshold that they're now crossing over, still because of the blood. Same blood that got them out of the house is going to get them through the sea. Come on, somebody. It doesn't lose its power. Come on. Crossing over into Elam. Elam means palm tree. It means strength. A palm tree will bend in the storm, but it won't break. That's my favorite thing about Florida. Sorry. It ain't the beach, it ain't the warm weather. It's the palm trees. I think they're the coolest looking things. If I could put one in my front yard, I would. That's one thing I'd do. And I'd maintain it and I'd take care of it as much as I like. But I think they're cool. Now, I've never seen one in person in the midst of a storm. And I hope I don't. But I've seen live videos of those hurricane winds coming through across the coast, and those palm trees, some of them are bent halfway over under the force of the wind. But when the wind stops, they come right back up because they cannot. The strength, they're not made of wood, they're made of bamboo. And the strength, amen, means that they're unbreakable. So now they're crossing, they come to a threshold. They can either go back into the enemy's arms, or they can cross over from the winter, the cold, the destroyer, the storms, over into the place where they are strengthened, and they will bend, but they won't break. Doesn't mean they won't endure storms, but it means the storm will not destroy them. And that same threshold that they cross over out of the hand of the destroyer is the same threshold that prevents the enemy from getting any further. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So if I can put that in hillbilly terms, you've got to be ready to leave everything that represents the enemy. Defeat, destruction, doubt, fear. You've got to be ready to leave that on the side where it belongs and cross over the threshold into a place of new strength. Come on, somebody. Can I put it in hillbilly terms? Let your past go and cross over. This is Passover. Stay with me. I'm about to get it. And where did Elam lead to? Where did they end up? At Mount Sinai. what happened at Mount Sinai, God manifested himself in a way that he never had to a community of people ever before. Fire, clouds, pillars of smoke. Come on, somebody. Lightnings and thunderings. We preached before on that coal. Amen. K-O-L, the voice. The thunder was the voice of God. Out of man and out of the thunder, God spoke. Come on, somebody. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. They were about to have an encounter. Amen. Praise God. Can I put it like this? They were about to encounter real revival. Oh, hallelujah. So that's what God's trying to get us to get a picture of. I lay all that foundation to get you to the threshold. Hallelujah. Everybody shouts about crossing the Red Sea. But what about where God is leading you? If you don't leave some things over here, no matter where he's leading you to, you'll miss the breakthrough. Oh, come on, somebody. Because they were crossing over from Beelzebub to Elam. It was leading them to Mount Sinai to a real revival encounter. This threshold allowed them to cross over, but it prevented the enemy from getting in. Are you with me? Are you getting the picture? I'm still not where I want to go, but I'm on closer there now than I was 10 minutes ago. Because right now we're all going through tribulation. I didn't say we were in the 7-year tribulation, but go away, quote me. I'm no prophet. I prophesy, but that don't make me a prophet. Just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. We got so many prophets today. It's annoying. It's annoying. It is annoying. No other way to put it. People who operate in the gift of prophecy prophesy to people on a personal level. Prophets prophesy on a national level. Just a little bit about that soup there for you today. Take a bite. Let's move on. There's no beef in it, just noodles and balls. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. We're all going through tribulation. It's sorrow. It's a closing in. It's tight places. It's places of narrowing. That's what it feels like sometimes, right? There's no room to even get my hands up.
Yep.
You look like CeeLo Green. Barney. That's what I meant. Sorry if I'm thinking about you.
Don't hold back
there. Yeah. God forgive me. I'm going to be yelled at after church about that. I promise to pray for me. Okay. I should have just said Barney. That's true. We're all going through tribulation, those tight places, those narrowing, where we feel like that we're being squeezed. But the very life and the very breath is being squeezed out of us, and that we're dying. And that's what causes the anxiety. I can't breathe. Calm yourself. Stand still. Remain steady. God is saying, hold your peace. Don't relinquish it. Don't give it to fear. Don't give it to worry. Don't give it to doubt. Don't give it to sickness, because God's using your tribulation as a border for your crossing over. That tribulation is your border for crossing over. He's creating that threshold. Come on, somebody, do you hear it? Remember what Moses told them. He said, stand still, remain steady, calm yourself down, don't stop being fearful, because this day you will not see the Pharaoh and his people anymore forever. That
enemy will be behind you and destroyed and will never be able to cross the threshold that's being created by this pressing, by this squeezing. You'll never have to deal with it again. And that's where God took me for today. Early in this week after Passover began, God took me to Exodus 14:13, where he said they'll never see the Pharaoh again forever. And the Bible says that when God got finished and the sea came back down and they were on the other side, they had crossed over from Beelzebub to Elam. They had no idea of the experience that was ahead of them. Glory be to God. They had no idea of the fire and the glory that God was going to reveal to them at Mount Sinai. But the Bible says they looked across, amen, the Red Sea, and they saw the bodies of the Egyptians strewn all across the shore on the other side in Beelzebub. Come on, somebody. And never, ever again, think about it, one of those soldiers had probably beaten and stood over them and said, make more bricks. You can't do this and you can't do that. This is what the Pharaoh said, the master said, that you can't quit now. And they might have taken a whip, amen, and smote them. Now that very same soldier in the army of the enemy is now laying dead on the seashore. And they never have to look at their face ever again. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but this Passover, God's wanting you to cross over. And there's some demons, there's some situations, there's some things that you will never have to encounter again if you will trust this word.
Get through the process. Tell you something, this Passover season I believe is detrimental to hell and the enemy. I said it is detrimental to hell and the enemy, because there's going to be loss of authority and domain as we who listen, obey, and trust cross over. I feel that. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm not just saying something to be saying it. I'm telling you what the Lord has spoken to my belly. Hallelujah. I believe there's some demons that some of you will never have to deal with again. If you will take this word in this Passover season, it's coming to a close on the calendar on Tuesday at sundown, that you can let it come to an end today in the spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. When the sun goes down on the 30th, you can have a Shabbat out of your belly and look over everything that's been from last Passover till now and say, it is finished. It's over. It's done. That demon will never stand over me again and tell me who I'm not, who I am, and what the enemy says I can and can't do, because I'm crossing over. I'm stepping out. God is saying, you will never see some of these enemies again. Right now, some of you in your anxiety is going, I just don't know if I can believe that for myself, because my family, my husband, my children, they said, you just don't know what things are like. How do you know that I know what the end is on the other side? I don't care how much of a mess your spouse, I don't care how much of a mess your children, I don't care how messed up, wrecked up, if you believe it, you want it, you trust it, you believe in the provision of the protector on the other side of it, will be complete restoration, will be complete victory.
But we have to leave some things on this side of the border cross. I'm not going to get political, but we are all. That's all right.
on all things or not? The gospel. Sorry to burst your bubble, but your opinion is not the gospel. If your opinion is based on the gospel, it might be a little more effective, but your opinion is not the gospel. We have to leave some things right where they are at Belzaphon. The place of the winter, the cold, the place of the destroyer, the winds, the darkness, the hidden things, things that are kept hidden. There's no revelation. There's no light. There's no sunrise. The sun might rise, but it doesn't bring you, amen, peace and joy because you dwell in darkness. Amen. That's on this side of this border. Amen. This threshold. Hallelujah. You got to cross over in this Passover. Hallelujah. And God is saying that you've got to leave some things on this side of the border crossing. You got to let some things die. Not everything has to be cast out. Not everything has to be cast down. Some things you just got to let go and let it die. It's only breathing and living because you're holding on to it. It's not holding on to you. You're holding on to it. Come on. I was being real with you. Jesus is coming and he's coming for a bride. Who's ready? Watching. You have to let some things die. That's God's alarm. That means that the phone line's down. That's all that is. Don't get it right. There's no fire, no smoke, no nothing. It just means the phone line's down. And there's no SOS signal. Should there be a fire? Or, come on. That'll preach next Sunday. You got to let some things die. Did you know that it's illegal to bring seeds across some of the international borders? It's illegal to bring seeds across some of the international borders. You say, why? Because they grow into plants that could be invasive pests in their environment. Australia is really big about things crossing their border. These seeds can carry diseases and pathogens that can bring harm to the environment. Some of you got some seed that you've picked up on this side of the border. And you can't carry it over into Elam with you. It's toxic. It will bring harm to the harvest and the environment that God has set for you at Elam, Mount Sinai. Now see that they had to encounter Mount Sinai so they could take Canaan, the promised land. Come on, somebody. We just want to hop, skip, jump right into the promises. We want to carry bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and resentment. Rejection, dejection, sickness, fear, anxiety. We want to just carry that right in our seed pouch, right over into the promised land. And we're going to speak that mess, and we're going to talk that stuff, and we're going to share all of that stuff, and we're going to plant it in the soil. And all it's going to do is it's going to bring disease and rot to the good seed. Come on, somebody help me. And it's going to make the environment toxic. But you have to let some seeds die in order to cross the threshold. Now, what, just real quick lesson in case some of you didn't know, it was on the 50th day that they got to Mount Sinai, which is where we get Shavuot or the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th in the Greek. It's where we get that Shavuot, where we get that feast when they got to Mount Sinai. That was the 50th day. They encountered fire and God gave them the word. It was fulfilled when Jesus, amen, ascended back, amen, hallelujah, after
on the 40th day after he was crucified, he ascended back and he said, tarry here, stay here, for there will be a promise that is coming to you that will endue you and give you power. Come on, somebody. And on that day of Pentecost, 10 days later, on the 50th day after he was crucified, after Passover, Pentecost came, revival showed up, Holy Ghost and fire. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So if you are going to go from this season of Passover and you are going to reap the benefits of Pentecost, you have got to let some seeds die from last season. Because it's illegal to carry them over the border. Are you with me? That means that if you're not careful, you will stay in the enemy's domain and you will only get as far as Elam and never make it to Mount Sinai. Oh, come on, somebody. Now. We're talking about from Passover to Pentecost. Are you with me? And I don't know about you, but I know some of you because I know your stories. And I'm very transparent. Maybe a little too much, but you know, I'm real with you. I don't have some kind of, there's no S in blazed on my chest or on my shirt. I'm not Superman. I can't stand and suddenly get some quick. I'm just like you. The same enemy that pursues you pursues me. The same enemy that wants to destroy you wants to destroy me. The same enemy that wants your destiny wants my destiny. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. We've experienced some deep purging since last Passover. It's felt like death. Come on. Maybe I'm the only one in here and that's fine. Don't bother me a bit. I'm telling you that that's the way it's been for me. It's felt like death, tight, squeezing, no breath. Literally feeling lifeless. But can I tell you that the death is not to us, but to the old place that we were in. It's death to the old wineskin. I preached a few weeks ago on the new wineskins. This purging, this tribulation that's brought us to the border. Are you with me? I hope this is making sense. Because it's not like death. I can't tell you how many times that I would have paid money to just come in on a Sunday morning and take your seat and just be a faithful church goer. Or not deal with the spiritual aspects of this. Are you with me? I'm just being real. I trust in my calling. I know God's called me. I know that I'm anointed. I know that he's been faithful and he'll be faithful till the end. But it's felt like death. I have never had a desire in the last decades to give up on the Lord. I don't have that desire. I know there's nothing out there. Nothing. I'm not saying that I can't fall, but I'm just telling you I don't want to.
Right.
As long as I don't want to, I'm not going to. Because you got a made up mind? There ain't a devil out of hell that can stop.
Amen. All right. Amen. Amen.
So you got to make up your mind about this at the border. So the death is not to us, but it's in the old place that we were in. Listen, we are seeing an unprecedented number of tornadoes in this season. Iowa and Nebraska had over 100 tornadoes in 24 hours day before yesterday. Some of them were a mile wide on the ground. You can't make that stuff up. And I know that Tornado Alley and all that is there, but come on. Things such as we've never seen before. And this side, we're coming from the god of Typhon, like a typhoon, a storm, a strong wind, a destroyer may come
We'll bend, but we won't break. Come on, somebody. But over here, with our seed of doubt and fear and resentment and confusion and anger and bitterness, rejection, we stay in the enemy's domain. What does a tornado do? Causes destruction. But here's another thing a tornado does. It forces you to rebuild. You have no choice to either leave the destruction and the rubble, or you rebuild. Are you with me? This tightness, this tribulation, these things are putting us in place. The seeds of this past season will be toxic for your spiritual growth on this side of the border. If you're going to never see some of these enemies again, you have to let them die. You have to relinquish the seed and let them die, because on this side of the threshold, on this side of the border, at the crossing over, there's fresh provision at Mount Sinai. There's power and there's protection waiting. Dunamis power. Resurrection power. Forcing us to rebuild. Everything that remains. Come on, somebody. And you got to remain steady. Look at your neighbor and say, remain steady. I wanted to get ready to come to music. You got to hold your peace and don't let it go. Don't let it go. Hold your peace. Exodus chapter 23, verses 23-31. We've said this before, and Passover's passed. But the Lord brought this back up into my spirit and reminded me as he was speaking to me of this message in Exodus 14:13, that you will never see those enemies again. But you got to let the seed die. Got to let it die. 23:30. Should have been 23:31. I'm sorry. I don't know if you can get back to that. No, it don't matter. If not, you can read it yourself. But it's verses 20-31. But contained in those passages of Scripture, in those 11, 12 Scriptures, contained in those Scriptures, there it is. Quickly. Behold, I will send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread, thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. And I will drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Contained in those scriptures are seven blessings of Passover, seven blessings that belong to those who will put their trust in Pesach. Come on, somebody. God reminded me of that. Hallelujah. As we're standing at the threshold, this crossing over, this border that's been set by God. The tribulation, the squeezing, all of the things coming out of the cold, the darkness, the storm. Amen. Hallelujah. The winter, that season. Hallelujah. Stepping over into not worrying about how we're going to get there because God's going to make the way, right? God's going to take care of it. And we're going to go over into the place where we're going to be strengthened and the storm may come, but we won't break. And we're getting ready for an encounter of fresh provision, fresh power, fresh revival at Mount Sinai. But we've got to let some seeds die over here first. But those seven blessings in Passover, number one, an angel assigned to you that will go before you. The second one, God will be an enemy to your enemies. The third one, he will give you divine provision or prosperity. The fourth one, sickness will be taken from you. The fifth one, no one will suffer miscarriage or be barren. Number six, I will give you a long life. And finally, number seven is God will bring the increase and inheritance, and you will take back what the enemy has stolen. That is your divine birthright. But before you do, you better remain steady and let some seeds die because you can't carry them over the border to where God is taking. Stay with me all across this place. Trust this has made sense to you today. I've given you my heart. I've spoken what God has given to me. We're reaching the end of Passover, but it's only the beginning of the blessings and this crossing over, this border, this threshold. Somebody, you gotta leave them some seeds. You gotta take those seeds. They can't be options anymore. You can't plant anxiety with faith and expect to reap the fullness of faith. You can't plant bitterness with joy and expect to walk in fullness of joy. You can't plant unforgiveness with grace and expect to be justified. All of the seeds, you don't have to see that enemy anymore. You can leave it on the side of Beelzebub. If you're in this place, you're lost today and you don't know Jesus, I would like to invite you to know him. I would like to ask you to come and let him love you. Let him save you. Let him restore you. Let him give you peace. Because the blood initiates the crossing over. So you can't have all of this if you don't have Jesus. You got to be saved. Those blessings don't belong to just anybody who comes to church or anybody who does churchy stuff. It belongs only to those who are in the blood of Jesus. So if you're not saved today, now's the time you can cross over. You can step over this border, this threshold that Passover is presenting between Passover and Pentecost, because there's fresh provision, fresh revival. Now hear me. I don't want to make anybody upset, but now the American church is going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday on the wrong day because they're bringing it from Resurrection, which was in March. So your calendar is going to show up next month that there's a Pentecost Sunday, don't come yelling at me because we don't talk about it. Because it ain't happening until June, because we go from Passover, 50 days from Passover, not resurrection. Now, the resurrection was the Passover, but I just want to tell you that, okay? Just to get you ahead of time. Don't get yourself all dandered up, because we don't follow the American church. Because the Bible don't bless or what is they going to love? Anyhow, God's got it set up, and revival is already ready. So if you don't know him today, I want to ask you to come, invite you to come. Give you an invitation right now. Come find Jesus. Say yes to the best thing that will ever happen to you. Should there be anybody in here making, wavering right now in that decision, I want you to know that this altar remains open. But if you're in this place right now, and you're ready to remain steady, and you're ready to leave some seeds, let some things die, and never see those enemies ever again, as you step over this threshold of Passover, and you cross over this border that's been established. If you're ready for that, I want you to get out of your seat and come. Come on, come quickly. Say, we're going to worship.